Today on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing Dr. Shapiro with the Galilee Center about what they're doing in Israel in terms of Jewish and Christian relationships. It is amazing. Also, a prophetic vision that was given to Heidi Baker from Mozambique and what she saw over America, as well as a vision that was given to Daniel Norris in terms of the coming elections and what he saw with scales. You don't want to miss it. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, we have an exciting program for you today. We're excited that you are connecting all of our audience all over the Gulf Coast. It's an honor and a privilege for us to be with you today. And we're going to be talking about a few things in our program. One of the first things, though, however, is what's happening in Israel. Oh, it is such a beautiful thing. As you know, we stand for Israel on this program, and we will continue to do that. But we have a report coming from Israel Now News in their segment called Ask the Source. And they have a wonderful interview with Dr. Shapiro of the Galilee Center. And what they're doing in Israel right now is a special course that involves Jewish and Christian relations. It is a beautiful thing. If you watch some of our programs we've been talking about recently about the Crusades, and our history has not been a pretty one. But right now there's such a movement to bring Christians and Jews together so we can learn from each other, have this relationship that's really a beautiful thing. But it's so wonderful to see this unfold in Israel. It is absolutely amazing. Let's watch Dr. Shapiro now. She explains how this program got started and what is their goal. Watch this.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein, and we're here in a beautiful day in Jerusalem on our rooftop studio. My guest today is Dr. Phaedra Shapiro. Thank you for being on the show, Dr. Shapiro.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Shapiro, you are the founder of the Center for Studies on Jewish-Christian Relations in the Galilee. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. It's an academic center that is founded really on three pillars, teaching, research, and actually building a better, stronger Jewish-Christian relations both here in Israel and overseas.
So, Dr. Shapiro, tell our viewers a little about how does it work?
Well, we are based at the Yisrael Valley College, so it's an independent academic center at the college. We have 5,000 students in the college as a whole, and then we offer our own particular programs. We teach courses in Hebrew to Israeli students, undergraduate courses, everything from Introduction to Christianity, Jewish-Christian Relations, things like that. We also have programs for visitors from overseas, Jews and Christians who come to our center and want to learn more. We have a summer program, all sorts of different programming for different constituents, both academics and non-academics.
And what's the goal of the program? What are you trying to achieve?
I would say quite simply that the goal is to build better Jewish-Christian relations. And by that, we really mean more informed, the more educated Jews and Christians are about one another, and the more experience we can gain in engaging one another, I think will really equip us better for facing the challenges that both Jews and Christians are dealing with in the modern world.
We're seeing an unprecedented burst activity between Jews and Christians in the 21st century. Why is this happening?
Well, I think that there are many factors at play here, but what really started things out, I think, was, of course, the deep soul-searching in the wake of the Shoah after the Holocaust, when Christians really asked themselves if there was something in their own tradition, in their Christianity, that might have played a role in laying the groundwork for that terrible genocide. And from there, a real process of what we call in Hebrew, cheshbon nefesh, a soul searching of trying to build Christianity that was not necessarily anti-Jewish. I think that was the strongest and the first impetus.
Now, we're seeing that in the Christian world, there's a great divide between what we call Bible-believing Christians who love Israel, support Israel, love the God of Israel, and mainline churches that sometimes actually divest from Israel, stand against Israel, are viciously in their attacks against Israel. What is causing this divide?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Josh. I mean, we find in the Christian world, as Jews and as Israelis, both our staunchest critics and also our strongest supporters. What causes that divide is really the Bible, and is really an issue of reading the Bible, faithfulness to the Bible, understanding the Bible, I think causes people to come down on one side or on the other.
We've seen for years in the past that Jews were wary about working with Christians. Religious Jews like yourself kind of were standoffish. Why do these Christians want to support us? Why do we want to work with them? But lately, we've seen a real coming together of religious Jewish leadership and Christian leadership. Do you see this continuing?
I do. I see more of the reluctance, perhaps, than you do, Josh. And I do feel a lot of question and suspicion about my own work from the religious community, but at the same time, I am also watching some of those suspicions fall. More and more rabbis who are opening up to the idea of at least getting to know our Christian brothers and sisters and not immediately suspecting that there's some kind of agenda at work. So I'm very optimistic about that.
I see that this new relationship is based on trust. It has to be. How does your program in the Galilee foster trust on both sides?
Well, trust really only comes from experience. You can't insist that people trust each other. And it's really through spending time together, through students spending time together, through young people spending time together, engaging in activities together, building something together, bringing clergy together, actually realizing that the other is not only human, but in fact, as a person of faith, often we have more in common with one another than people in the secular world.
We're seeing more and more support from Christians in places like South America, Africa, and Asia. What is your program doing to foster that support?
Well, we have, we've had participants in our programs from all over the world, and Korea, Brazil, even from Europe, which is surprising to us. So we are trying to reach out to those places where that support exists and try to encourage them not just to work more in Jewish-Christian relations, but to do so here in Israel. And for example, that's one of the reasons that we're not doing distance education. I've stood very firmly against distance education by saying that we really need people to come here to Israel to participate in building better Jewish-Christian relations.
Dr. Shapiro, there are literally tens of millions of people watching the show. What message do you have for our viewing audience?
I think the most important thing that I would like to share is a recognition that doing Jewish-Christian relations should not be viewed as obvious. There are plenty of people out there, I'm sorry to say, who even question, what is there special between Jews and Christians? Why not do interfaith relations, interfaith religions more broadly? What about Islam? Those kinds of questions. And I think that we have to be very clear about what it is that Jews and Christians share, and how unique and special that relationship is, the importance of having a protected space, I would call it, for some of those very difficult conversations that really come out of 2,000 years of very hostile and difficult history that we have with one another. We need to make sure that we can engage each other in a trusted, protected kind of environment, and that's part of what we are trying to build.
Thank you, Dr. Shapiro, for being on the show. And thank you for tuning in to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein. Now back to the studio.
This is so encouraging. Thank you, Dr. Shapiro, for what you're doing in Israel and what you're doing to help bring together Jews and Christians. Listen, now more than ever, we need to appreciate our Jewish brothers, and many of them appreciate us as Christians, because we're understanding that persecution, you know, they say that first they came for the Saturday people, and now they're coming for the Sunday people. Jews and Christians. Remember, we've been talking from the beginning of our program that it's all about JJ, Jews and Christians, and the persecution is increasing more than ever. When a Christian person, was speaking to a Jewish man, speaking in regards to the persecution that the Jews are experiencing, he actually said, now we need to pray for the Christians, because the Christians are actually experiencing a lot more persecution. We have that in common and so much more. Continue to pray for that the two men become one. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I served the Roman Empire. I fought wars against those who did not believe in our gods. But nothing could prepare me for the truth that has now risen.
He was very special.
They're fanatics.
What was his name?
He was called Yeshua.
The man's dead. His followers are in hiding.
He's been a threat.
Take control out there and finish things.
The tomb is sealed. Guard it with your life.
If this body vanishes,
we have a potential messiah.
Where has he gone?
You tell me.
You will track down the corpse of Yeshua.
He's right here.
Open your heart and see.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? Coming right powerful from Israel. I love their rooftop studio. Well, we need one. We need a rooftop studio in Jerusalem. But my goodness, every time I see images of Israel in video, just reminds me of the time that I was there, and it's just a desire to go back. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, go to Israel. Go, because you'll be blessed. It'd be a wonderful, wonderful time. Well, if you've been watching this program, you know, Steve, that we've been talking about what the Lord has showed us and has shown many others, that we have entered a season, a time where this is some of the best of times, going to be really, this is the beginning stages of some of the best of times, as well as some of the worst of times. And they're going to be kind of happening simultaneously. And because of things that God has shown us, things that God has shown others, and there's a lot of these prophetic words that are converging, kind of all coming together. But we've seen in the last several years some really remarkable things that kind of unfolded on the world stage. I mean, we've seen terrorists and terrorism move in a dimension that we have not seen since 9/11. Mm-hmm. And particularly with ISIS and some of the things that happened in Paris. And, of course, what happened in our own country in San Bernardino. And that's of great concern, because right now, you know, we don't know how many terrorists actually are in our country at the moment. According to Kamal Saleem with Qum Ministry, there's approximately over 450,000 radical Islamists in our nation right now, and that have gone through the border. And that was some years back. So it could be a whole lot more. We now have a porous border in Mexico where there are many people that are crossing the border. Mm-hmm. We have seen Christian persecution escalate at such a level now that it's not something that is happening overseas, but we've had people in our own country that have been beheaded based off of radical Islam. And so all of these things are rising, not to mention that our nation right now is more polarized than, man, maybe even the 60s.
Yeah.
And the country is divided on race, is divided on socioeconomic backgrounds, it's divided in their politics. And as the saying goes, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. And so we're believing that, you know, through repentance and 2 Chronicles 7:14, God's people, you know, turning back to the Lord, that we're going to see a third great awakening. Obviously not because we deserve it, simply because God is good. And it's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. And it's really encouraging to see the faith of so many people right now all across the country.
Yes.
That are believing for a mighty move of God. It's just a beautiful thing.
And to be able to have that faith and have that perspective and have that hunger that God is going to do such, and he is already doing it right now, and we're seeing those waves amidst so much calamity in the natural world across the nation. And what's powerful too is the thing about it, we've heard, you know, many encouraging people say, is just like, think about the very generation that God has called you to be a part of, to see that he has marked you to be part of this, because he's got a plan for your life, because he knows what he's going
to
do.
That's right. So when we see these dark things happening, it's not for us to be discouraged, but to realize that, you know what, God allowed us in all the years that you know, the world has existed, this moment, this time, you are in this generation,
that's
in
right.
this age. Why? Because God wants to use you. God wants to use you to make a difference. And the Bible says that life is but a vapor. You know, we're here, and before you know it, we're gone.
Right.
And so, you know, the best moment to act and to do something for God is now. You know, I heard someone say that, you know, tomorrow, you know, may never come. You know, today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. And it really is. You know, we really have to capitalize on every moment that we have, because we don't know if we're going to be around tomorrow. And if we are around tomorrow, we don't know if we're going to have the ability to be able to do the things that we desire to do for God. And so there's that transition between desire and intention, right? I intended to do something. I have a desire to do something. But then there's the reality of actually doing something. And you got to begin to start evaluating whether you're content to be on the sidelines cheering others on, or are you going to be one that says, I got to get off the sideline and I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be one that hears the Lord's voice, and I want to be a part of advancing his kingdom in the world. We've never been poised with a time like we are today with recent media technology that we can just help to promote the gospel all around the world. I mean, it's really amazing.
It really what encourages me is like if you look at it, like you're saying, it's just like you have all these things that are preparing us for such a time as this. And we've talked about on this program before. It's like if you imagine just like a tsunami wave and it's just like a surfer can look and see the sets coming and see the sets coming. And those good surfers will like they'll watch it and they'll know. And all of a sudden people on the shore might not notice, but you'll see a surfer turn around and just start paddling ferociously, even though that you haven't quite seen the cresting of the wave, but they know it. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're doing everything. And you've heard us talk about BFN TV on the torch. You can see us on Facebook. You can see us in social media. And it's just like, we are everywhere trying to get the message out because God is calling a generation, not just, you know, you're watching, but it's like you're part of a generation of what God is doing. And it's exciting.
It is exciting. In fact, God showed me a vision during worship one time of that tsunami, because we've seen prophetically this is a wave that's coming. And I hear clear as day, says, don't look at it, swim to it. You know, the hungry swim to it. Don't wait. And so many people are waiting for a revival to fall, right? But, you know, you got to go after it. And we have to be engaged because waiting for something to fall to happen puts the responsibility like on God to do something. You know, we're just waiting. But we can play active roles in prayer and seeking the heart of God and having a personal revival first. You know, it starts with the heart, your own personal heart being transformed. How can we bring transformation? Well, first allow God to transform us. And believe me, it's contagious. Yeah. When people see what God is doing in your life, they just get hungry and say, I want that. What is going on in your life? What is God doing? And that's where it just begins to spread. But in the midst of all of this amazing things that are happening, I want to share with you a vision, a prophetic vision that Heidi Baker had from Iris Ministries. She has ministry in Mozambique where I have the thousands of churches in the bush of Africa, as well as feeding many, many orphans. But she had a vision of what is coming to America. And it's pretty surprising. Maybe, maybe not. But watch this.
And I had a vision in your church, and it wasn't what I expected to see. But I saw bread. Remember this? I saw bread lines, soup kitchens, and I saw people wearing beautiful clothing. Their clothing was not worn out. Now, in my nation, when people are hungry, you can tell. I mean, they're in shredded rags. They don't have shoes, or they have flip-flops. Most of them no shoes. They're hungry. They know they're hungry. They come for food, not because they're beggars, but because they're hungry. Children, I've held starving children in my arms. I know what starvation is. I know what pain is. I know what suffering is. But in this vision that I had that was in your nation, my nation, which the Lord's helping me to say, I will identify with America as well as Mozambique. And I saw this bread line, long bread lines, and I said, Lord, I don't think that's popular to say in a church, especially one that's all about revival and victory and power. And I didn't want to see what I saw, but I saw what I saw. So I was so undone that I just said what I saw. And I saw all these people. They had fancy cars, beautiful 4x4s and Lexus, Mercedes, BMWs, Toyotas. There they were, fancy, shiny cars, and they're standing in line. And when I said what I said about worrying, the warriors turned into worshiping warriors. The warriors turned into worshiping warriors. I said, why are they so well dressed and standing in this line? He said, because it's a suddenly. They're suddenly in need of food. They're suddenly in need of food. I said, what are we to do? He said, tell them that what you see in Mozambique, they will see in America with the signs and wonders and miracles. that they will see it on their soil. They will see what I do. Now, what is it? What does he do? For one thing, he puts peace in you in the midst of the storm.
Wow, amazing. You know, I'm kind of like Heidi Baker. You know, you really don't want to talk about some of these things, but this is what the Lord is showing. What do you do when you have a prophetic dream, a night vision where the economy prophetically is over, you know, crashes in 6 minutes, or you see money burning, you know, up in a funnel and it's gone, and you see some of the things that are happening. You have the responsibility. This is what I saw. This is what the Lord showed me, and you got to share it. And so you have, you know, a camp that's only seeing, you know, certain things that God's allowing them to see, where it's revival, awakening, and then you have others that God's allowing to see other things, but we need the full counsel of God. And that's why we believe it's going to be some of the best and some of the worst of times. Right. But if you've been watching this program, we've been talking about prudent preparation. In fact, sign up today for the Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you. It's free. Just take it. Go to VFNTV.com. Sign up today and get prudent preparation, because you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared for what is coming. And we've talked about this extensively on our program, and we'll make some of these segments related to you in case you're brand new to the program. You can catch up. But, you know, something is going to happen in the economy, and you need to be prepared. This was a suddenly. She says she's familiar with people that are hungry every day, that are starving. But what she saw were people well-dressed that were not prepared, and they're standing in a bread line. You know, I would say those are the ones that didn't take heed, you know, that didn't take the warning seriously. And it's time for us to pay attention, because these days could be really, you know, quick upon us. Look at what's happening with the economy. Over $200 trillion in debt when you really, you know, factor in all the things that they're not factoring. It's more than the $19 trillion. This, the Band-Aid over Band-Aid is not going to fix what's happening, not just in our nation, but the economic situation that's happening all around the world, from Greece to Europe, you know, to Spain, to what's happening recently in China, and, of course, the United States, not to mention the oil that's literally went from $100 a barrel to below 28. The whole world is in this perfect economic storm that eventually is going to come down. But you know what? God is so much bigger than that. You know,
yes,
so many
is.
People are worshiping the resources and the funds. Listen, we need to worship God. We need to turn our attention to the Lord. And the encouraging thing about this, Steve, is what she said. She said God told him, listen, he's going to do what he did in Africa. You know, we hear about all
signs
these
and wonders.
Yeah, we hear about all these miracles that take place in Africa. Why? I tend to think
they're
because
hungry.
They're hungry, you're
That's right.
And they're crying out to God. Their dependency is not in their paycheck, it's not in their wealth, it's not in their ability. It's not in their credit card. You know, most people feel real secure if they can lean on that extra credit card. Their dependency is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They cry out to God. And I believe in that place of humility, in that place of dependency, in that place where we know that we can't look to the left or to the right or behind us, that the only place that we can look up is to God. We're going to see some of the most greatest signs, wonders, and miracles. And the signs and wonders are not for us to have a party, but they're for us to, you know, signs to point us to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so this is an amazing thing that's going to take place, but it's going to require wisdom and preparation.
You know, and as you're talking about that and saying, like, you know, the peace in the storm, it reminds me of just the fact that, you know, when Jesus was with the disciples, he sent them across the lake, he sent them across the sea, and there was a storm coming. He didn't save them from the storm, but it was in the storm that they had peace. And when we're talking about, you know, the prudent preparation, as you're saying, you know, there's a suddenly that's going to happen. It's not about just having food and water, but it's so that you can sustain yourself. And as you're ministering now in these moments, that those suddenlies are going to come so that you can continue to minister and share the gospel with other people, because it's in that desperation of someone's life when they're open and you have a compassion for them, you're going to be able to be present for them because you're not standing in line with them.
Amazing. You know? Listen, we have a special offer for you before we go to break that we want to share with you. But before we do, I want to encourage you, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about Daniel Norris, evangelist, who had a prophetic vision about two flags. You don't want to miss it. It's a timely vision, but it kind of all kind of fits together what we've been talking about. But watch this special offer. You can partner today, and it's available to you. Watch now.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. She was alone, living in an orphanage under rather cruel conditions and desperate to know that somebody cared.
And when I go to bed at night, you know that when nobody touches you, nobody hugs you, you want to be hugged. I don't care what people say when they say, don't touch me. Yeah, they want to be hugged. And at night, when I knew nobody was looking, and after the lights were out, and after I'd get the whippy, I'd put my arms around myself, and I'd rock myself to sleep, and I'd cry and I'd cry. And as those tears mingled down and soaked into the sheets and into the pillow, I was crying out, oh, if somebody would just love me.
As a child, Dory just wanted to be loved. And today, there are 168 million children around the world with that same heart cry. Now, maybe you can't adopt a child right now, but there are many ways to get involved in the orphan care movement. Learn how at iCareAboutOrphans.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're talking about the vision that Heidi Baker just had. And you know, what's amazing about that, Steve, is it kind of reminds me of when David experienced Ziklag. You know, it was a horrible, horrible situation where their, you know, band of followers and family were just taken captive, and it looked like it was a horrible situation. But David inquired of the Lord, and that's something that we can't forget, no matter how bad things may get. Listen, I remember what, I believe it was Chuck Pierce who said this. He's in a prophecy. He said that the Lord said that it is finished, not that he is finished. God's not finished with America, and he's not finished with you. And we have to remember that when we have setbacks, when we have things that happen, trials and persecutions and things that don't go right in our own way, it's not over. It's just an opportunity for God to show up, show out, and do something amazing in your life. But you have a choice. You can be depressed. You can, you know, whine. You can complain. Or you can begin to start to look for God. Look, God, how can you redeem this situation? How can you turn this situation into something for your glory? And when we capture that, when we get that in our heart and in our spirit, it changes our whole situation. So, listen, we don't know what tomorrow may hold. I mean, we have understanding, and God gives us some glimpse and some pictures, but we really, truly, in all detail, really don't. It takes all of us. And even when it hits us, we still may not know the full magnitude, but that's okay. Because as long as you know the one that holds tomorrow, you're going to be okay.
That's right.
And that's the key. And that's why we talk about abiding all the time on our program. And we encourage you, listen, get the free plan. It's at iabide.org. It's absolutely free. It's our gift to you. Get it, because it's a simple plan how you can begin to have a personal, intimate relationship with God where you can hear his voice and be able to retain what it is that he's telling you, what he's instructing you, what he's warning you, encouraging you, all these wonderful things. And you will have a wonderful relationship with him. But you got to have a plan. You got to know how to start. So get it today at iabide.org. I want to talk about Daniel Norris's vision. I believe he was an evangelist with Steve Hill's ministry. And he just had an amazing vision, which I think is timely, Steve, for where we find ourselves, you know, in our nation's history. We are at a tipping point, if you will. We have an election that's coming up, and who's going to be the leader of our country. And I want to share with you what Daniel saw and what he heard when the Lord spoke to him during his abiding time. This is what he said he heard. He said, "Arise and awaken, church, for the future of your nation rests within your hands." Those were the words I heard in my spirit as I prayed this morning. At the same time, I saw a large brass balance scale, and I heard, "Can you not wait? Can you not wait out the truth and judge what is righteous? Let the remnant arise, for their voice is needed in this very hour." So he begins to write in this correspondence, and he says, "Our nation has entered into a pivotal election year." And he says, "Decisions made this year will tip the scales for decades to come, and the stakes are indeed really high." And he says that as he was praying, you know, for God's wisdom to discern what is true and to strengthen him to stand, you know, during this time, he began to meditate on what the Lord was telling him. And this is what he heard during his prayer time. And what he heard and what he saw, he said, "I saw two flags being waved over different sides of the scale." He saw the scale. One white, the other yellow. And there were two sets of believers split beneath each banner. So he's seeing a scale, seeing a one flag over one side of the scale and another flag over the other. And there were believers that were on different sides of the flag or under these flags. One set was angry and demanded retaliation, and the other was on their knees calling upon heaven. He says, "I knew both of these flags as I have seen them increasingly more as he traveled the nation." And they've been, you know, people have been having the flags on their homes and on their vehicles and on their cars. But he says, "Both embodied patriotism that harkens back to the early days of the revolution, yet they communicate two different messages," which is important. And the first one that he saw was what is known as the Liberty flag, or as the Appeal to Heaven flag. You're probably seeing it right now. But this flag is the very first flag our nation ever flew. This was the flag that George Washington put over the small little fleet of ships that he had during the Revolution, because here they were, a ragtag army that General George Washington, you know, was commissioned to put together, and they were getting ready to fight the world's superpower. They were no match for Great Britain, no match at all. And the only thing that they could do, and this phrase comes from John Locke, who was a, you know, great influencer during that time, this cry, this appeal to heaven, that's all they could do, was just cry out to God. And he begins to talk about how the other flag that was flown during this time had to do is known as the Gadsden flag. This is during the American Revolution. And this is a bright yellow flag, and it has at its center, we can share that, as it has at its center, a coiled rattlesnake and the words, "Don't tread on me," written across the bottom. In the years leading up to the Revolution, the rattlesnake had become a symbol of the American colonies. And Daniel writes that in 1775, Colonel Christopher Gadsden, chose to use this symbol on a flag to be the standard flagship for his fleet. And this message was clear. Mess with us, and I will strike back with deadly force. And the Gadsden flag is a threat of retaliation.
Wow.
This is so important because we find ourselves in a pivotal moment. And begins he continues to write that though both flags originate from the same point of history, their appeal is in opposite direction. One of these flags has to do with us looking upward towards God and saying, God, we need you to move in our nation. And the other side of this flag has to do with retaliation, not a dependency upon God, but a dependency upon ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so Daniel is encouraging the church and believers for us to look inwardly and for us to search our heart and for us to recognize the times in which we live in, that we're about to elect a presidential leader, the leader of our nation. Which way do we want to go? Which way do we want to stand? We want someone that represents the nation that would actually make an appeal to God, or one that's looking for retaliation? Because retaliation has to do with anger and saying that we can avenge ourselves, as opposed to God is the true avenger. He's the one that can do these things. And we did a recent, a segment for you emphasizing that it's not about who we should vote for, but rather how we should vote. And we're going to make sure that that's available for you on The Torsion related to this segment. It's important that you kind of take that in again, because it's not about a person, but it's about a certain principle. It's about values. And we want to encourage you that when you go, listen, the primaries, it's so important to be involved in the primaries in your state, because the nominations are getting close, and you want to not vote party, person. You want to vote God's values. Take Jesus with you to the voting booth. Pray about these issues. Pray and stand behind the candidate that you think would most fall under the banner of appealing to heaven, as opposed to maybe something that's retaliatory in nature, because it's all rooted in self. Listen, this requires wisdom. This requires prayer. And we want to encourage you to do both. Seek the wisdom of God and pray. And we feel confident that God will speak to you and obey him. That's the big thing, because, God speaks.
But you got to respond.
We've got to listen to what he tells us. Listen, we want to talk more about this when we get back from this break. We'll be joining us back in a few.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. It doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room, there's, some interviews that we had that we ask other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Steve, talk to us about what's going on with this pastor. He's invading coffee houses.
Yes.
This is not, I mean, he's supposed to be in the building. Is he getting
outside?
He got outside the building.
He did.
And he's invading coffee houses. What's he doing?
Well, his name is Pastor Tom, and he's actually out of Pennsylvania. I used to be a coffee drinker, but I'm no longer really.
You're not a coffee drinker.
Not so much.
We're going to pray for you.
Yes. I received that. But Pastor Tom, he's not a coffee drinker either, but he's a tea drinker. And
a what drinker?
A tea drinker. He drinks tea.
Tea.
And outside of once a week, he goes to a coffee shop. He orders himself a coffee so he can kind of fit into his environment.
Even though he doesn't drink it.
Okay. But he's taken this, somebody gave him a word of knowledge, just kind of a word of encouragement, and he just stepped outside his normal environment where he is, and he goes to a coffee shop.
Do we have a picture of him anywhere?
I believe we have a picture of him.
There he is.
But he puts out a sign in front of him, and it says free prayer. And he just kind of sits, and he was kind of doing it reluctantly at first, but he was amazed at how many people began to take him up on his offer.
Well, this is the process for him, right? Because the pastor was saying, I got to talk to people.
You
know, and they're going to ask me something.
and that's amazing, as you say that, because he even describes himself as a creature of pattern. He's just like, you know, this is not something that I would do.
I can only do things here in the building.
Because I remember myself, and it's just like I wanted to do something, and I would go on prayer walks, and I'd go to one specific area, and somebody gave me some wisdom that says, have you ever thought about going across the street? And it blows your mind.
Yeah,
it's awesome. And a very comparable thing happened to him. Like you're saying, he was very reluctant, not really sure if he wanted to go. But one of the powerful encounters that he has is while he's sitting there, somebody comes up to him, and unknown to Pastor Tom at this time, but you know the relatives, family, friends around this individual began dying.
Mm.
And he's just going through this process of trying to, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? And then he sees Pastor Tom sitting at a table that says free prayer. And little did he know that because Pastor Tom walked through this process of stepping out into his uncomfortable area, he's able to just minister and listen to this person and just spend time with them. And that's such a powerful truth that we have to understand. It's just like step out into the uncomfortable because there's someone that God is positioning after that, that you have to be able to walk through, that God is going to connect so that you can share the gospel, minister to them, witness to them, and you don't know what God's going to do, but are you willing to just step out?
That's a beautiful thing. Thank God Pastor Thomas said, you know, heard and said, I'm going to do it.
It's
because
amazing.
You know, there's so much ministry that takes place out in the world where life happens. You know, it happens at coffee houses and restaurants, at work, in different community events. And if we begin to go, you know, it's not about necessarily a come ye church, but a go ye church.
Right.
You know, we got to go out and have an outward focus and live life and be available for people. And when we do that, you know, amazing things happen. You know, very few people actually turn down prayer. It doesn't happen often. It does happen. But people are open for prayer, especially when things are going wrong in their lives. And just a simple sign at a table saying free prayer, what would happen if 20 people in your community, believers, Christians, would start invading coffee houses and would put a little sign and saying free prayer? Can you imagine the healings that would take place at the Drowsy Poet or at the Starbucks? Can you imagine all the things that would take place just because you made yourself available? Listen, maybe you're saying, I can do that. I drink coffee.
That's right.
I go to coffee houses.
Or a library.
I go to restaurants. What would happen if I just go and stick a little sign out? Listen, maybe you're called to do that today. Listen, we want to hear about it. Do it. And I think that it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. You know, we're coming to the end of our program, and I do want to share with you, this is Black History Month, and there's some amazing thing just occurred. A 106-year-old African-American woman met President Barack Obama for the first time, and her reaction was priceless. She met the president and the first lady, and just to see the look on her face, you can imagine, 106 years old, this woman has context of the 60s. She has context of all the things that happened that wasn't too long ago. And for our nation to elect the very first African-American president is pretty significant. And she gets the chance to see for her own eyes what Dr. King and so many others were saying. Listen, you know, we just want equality, civil rights. We want to just hold you to what's said on the paper. And now to have someone just like her in the White House was probably a really touching moment. I want you to watch her reaction and see what happened here.
Virginia McLaurin?
Hey!
How are you?
Oh, fine.
Oh, so nice to see you.
It's an honor.
You want to say hi, Michelle?
Yes!
Slow down, man. Don't go to my bridge. She's 106.
No, you are not. You are not.
Well, you got to slow down.
Oh, my goodness. I want to be like you when I go to 106.
Keep dancing. Come on.
Oh my
so what's the secret to still dancing at 106?
Huh? Just keep dancing. Yeah.
Come on.
We're so happy to have you here. And look at those nails.
Ooh. Those are all done.
Those nails. Yes, sir. I thought. I will never live to get in the White
House. Well, you are right here.
And I tell you, I am so happy.
We are happy to have you.
Oh, my best
day. Look at him.
Hey.
Right there.
Like,
that's me.
Yes. And I'm here to celebrate Black history.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
That's what I'm here for.
That's
well,
right.
We're glad to have you here.
You have just made our day. You know that? That energy, man.
You made my day.
Okay.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Miss McLaren, she sees for the first time with her own eyes, you know, and in person, first African-American president. And just touching because, yeah. You know, 106 years old.
So much history.
There's a lot of context. There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of pain and injustice that today we may not experience to that degree in that dimension, although it does, you know, some does exist. She's able to come and see the fruition of just something that is probably just truly, truly touched her, truly amazing. It's really, really amazing to see that, you know, really is. But we just can't forget it. We can't forget. Listen, want to encourage you to pray for us. We want to pray for you as we come to the end of the program. These are some serious days that we're living in. And we're not going to make it outside of God and being in communion with him. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to be with our viewers, Lord, in this time and in this season. We ask you, God, for mercy for America, mercy for our nation, Lord, that you would speak to your church, Lord, to Christians, God, to help us to get under the right flag, Lord, to help us to come to a place where we realize that our answer is not in a person. It's not in our government, it's not in our finances and in our economy, but the answer to the ills and the problem of our nation is Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to turn from our ways, Lord, to repent, God, and to declare you as the Lord of our lives. We thank you for the third great awakening that is coming to America, Lord, and we're believing it's going to spread all over the world. Dear God, end abortion and send the third great awakening in Jesus' name. God bless you and thank you for joining us.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.